League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to another post-qualifying podcast. My name's Katie and I have the biggest smile on my face right now. It's a shame you can't see it. And I'm joined by Tommy, and we're going to be talking about the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix qualifying. So spoiler alert, if you've clicked on this by accident and you haven't seen the results yet, turn it off, come back, because we're going to be talking about the whole session. And what a session it was, Tommy. There are so many topics to discuss here, but shall we start with Sergio Perez? He finally ended that drought. He went 11 years in Formula One without a pole position until today. Talk to me. How are you feeling?
I couldn't believe it. I don't think anyone could have seen that coming. I mean, we do our top five predictions, which are never normally right. And you know, we put things in there and people go, oh, what are you smoking? Or what have you been drinking and stuff? I think if any of us had put that Perez would get P1 and Verstappen fourth, the comments that we'd have got on that, everyone would have been like, what are you on?
Would have been great for engagement.
But it happened. I did not see that coming at all. I mean, it looked like it was going to be Verstappen. And then it was like, oh, okay, Ferrari. Looking strong, and then it looked like Sainz might do it out of nowhere. And Sergio Perez, I mean, me and Matt have just done our watch along and we went absolutely insane, just did not see that coming at all. It's just unbelievable.
Was absolutely amazing. And, you know, myself confessed Sergio Perez fan. So I'm on absolute cloud nine. I'm so thrilled for the guy. Obviously, qualifying hasn't been his strong point, I think it's fair to say. Had some really bad results last year, but I don't know what he's been taking. If he's, you know, maybe he's figured out a way to get the car set up. By the way, when I say what he's taking, I'm not suggesting he's doping or something like that. I just mean, you know, like, what did he have for lunch? But yeah, he managed to nail it and did a sensational lap, as you say, to put it on pole.
First
time ever in his career. It's like 11 years to the day or something that he made his debut, or maybe his first qualifying.
It's making me feel old.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
11 years.
How the times have changed. But yes, what an amazing achievement, and the first driver to get a Red Bull pole position this year, which, as you said, coming into 2022, there would have been some good odds on that. So amazing job from Sergio.
It's not his strong point, is it, quality?
It's really not.
I think that's the biggest shock of it. But
yeah, and from memory, he's, you know, street circuits aren't particularly his kind of, that's where Checo excels. So overall, I'm just mega proud and really happy for him. And also the good thing is Sergio's such a lovable character. He's got such a great arc in terms of his story in Formula One. And there are not many people that are not happy. That was the most complex way of describing the fact that everybody was happy to see him on pole. So really brilliant job there.
The only disappointing thing I will just add is there wasn't a camera on his dad.
Yes. So glad you said that.
I went, yeah, we needed that live reaction. If only we could know what the result would have been and we could have had Papa Perez on the watch along, and that would have been quite something. It would have been even more of a shocked reaction. But you mentioned Perez's career arc. I mean, he when he won, I believe it's the first, he's the driver with the most races before winning. And he's also now the most races before, like race weekends, obviously, before setting a pole position. So you don't normally get that with people that have such a long career and then start sort of achieving these things at the end. But yeah, Perro's showing that he's not like a fine wine.
Oh, lovely way of describing it. But yeah, he managed to beat both Ferraris, who have looked speedy all weekend. I had my prediction as a Charles Leclerc pole. So he was in second, Carlos in third, as you say. There was a moment where Carlos was on provisional pole, which would have been exciting, but he could only manage third place today. Max Verstappen in fourth, and Esteban Ocon making a cheeky little top five appearance there. So great from Esteban. But surprisingly, you know, you might say Sergio Perez on pole, Esteban Ocon in P5, Max Verstappen in P4. They weren't the biggest shock results of qualifying, because one thing that we need to talk about is Lewis Hamilton, Tommy, because the 7-time world champion, he was out in Q1. That's the first time it's happened since 2017 Brazilian Grand Prix. How insane is that? You talk about your watch along that you did with Matt. Your reaction to Hamilton was just absolute disbelief. And I think that's the reaction almost every fan watching it had.
Yeah, I think this will be the first time that we'll release our reaction video for that, but then also one of just another incident, because our reaction to Hamilton going out was just as extreme as Perez pole, because it was so unexpected. I mean, I know he was on older tyres, but it's Lewis Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And he does always find a way, it seems. And you just think, you know, there was, even when it was happening and he went up, I was like, oh my God, he's got through here at the skin of his teeth, thinking he's done it. And then, yeah, just unbelievable that out of nowhere. I mean, the fact that Russell was so high up as well, where did Russell qualify? Sixth?
Yeah,
six. And he was, I want to say fourth in the session, Q1, was he, or something like that? He was definitely up there in Q1. But Hamilton, 16th, is a huge, huge yikes.
It really is. It's the first time as well that he's been knocked out in Q1 on pure pace since the British Grand Prix in 2009. I mean, yikes. That is a long, long time ago. But yeah, big headline from that.
And I think Hamilton, even more surprising, is two cars were out. So he only had to, you know, he only had to beat three other cars, and he didn't do it.
That is
Hamilton
so true.
In a Mercedes. What is going on? What is 2020?
It's bizarre. It's just crazy. And talking about why, because I suppose that's going to be a big question. Well, why has this happened? Hamilton is just as complex as you or I. He said, you know, there's definitely something wrong with the Mercedes. I don't know what it is, but I just had no rear end. It's never been that bad. I know why you're laughing, because you're probably thinking of the Sergio Perez. Oh my gosh, I can read you like a freaking book, mate. But that's that. I mean, I don't really know more to add to that, because now I've got an image of Sergio Perez in my head. So
it's what we all want. The thing with Hamilton as well, I think, is so surprising, is it's not like Russell, you know, scraped through and then finished 14th or something. You know, Russell's up there in P6. It's insane. It is actually crazy.
And also, you know, Russell's the only Mercedes powered car that actually made it into Q3 in the first place, because both McLaren's out in Q2. And then Stroll 15th, Hamilton 16th, Albon 17th, Hülkenberg 18th, Nicholas Latifi 19th, person who was in 20th because they didn't actually set a lap time, was Yuki Tsunoda. But yeah, I mean, it's, for me, it just seems absolutely insane that we're seeing the Mercedes power units have clearly such a deficit, and they're really struggling, because we've just come from a whole generation of Formula One, where it was Mercedes domination every weekend you turned on the TV. And now we're seeing them really struggle, and it's Ferrari and Red Bull powertrains that are the ones that are just on it. It's so bizarre. I just can't get over the
customer
shake-up.
Teams. I mean, other than George, it was Lando is the highest placed Mercedes engined car in 11th. Absolutely woeful. I mean, all the Mercedes powered cars were at the back. Pretty much again. FP3 was, it was all of them, wasn't it, at the back in FP3. And this is a power track, so it almost, I know there was a lot of talk that was Toto saying, you know, it's not our power unit, we're doing all right. And there was talk of, you know, Aston Martin, McLaren, Williams have just built bad cars, but on the evidence of this weekend, there's definitely a Mercedes, some kind of Mercedes power issue as well, you've got to think.
Very much so. Makes you wonder if McLaren, I know obviously they won a race with Mercedes power last year, but maybe they would have been better sticking with the Renault, you know? It depends how soon it can get fixed, because it doesn't sound, from listening to the McLaren guys talk, that it's too much of a power unit issue, their struggles. It sounds like it's just maybe more downforce than the brakes. But
McLaren finally got rid of a GP2 engine in Honda, and then ended up on getting a Mercedes engine and it being the new GP2 engine.
It's very much reverse Uno card vibes that they're giving off there. Big story there with Lewis starting tomorrow's race in P16. I know that he's mentioned that he might actually just have a few changes and upgrades to the car just so he can start in the pit lane. And to be honest, with how chaotic we have seen the starts here in Saudi Arabia, probably not a bad idea.
F2 was chaotic, and well, it's just been a chaotic weekend
it has. Now another big story which we've been given updates on gradually, and fortunately the driver is okay, that is Mick Schumacher, who had hell of a crash in Q2, brought out the red flags, which were going for about close to an hour, and fortunately Mick seems to be okay on the outside. He's been flown to a local hospital for more precautionary checks, but within the last few moments Haas have confirmed that he won't be racing tomorrow. What are your thoughts to that crash, Tommy, because it was a proper whack. It was a nasty crash to witness.
I don't think there's anyone surprised that he's not racing. It was a awful crash. I mean, the car just speared into that inside wall, and the fact that wall is just a concrete wall, no safer barrier or anything like that. I think it was when we watched it back, obviously we were live reacting to it on the Quali watch along, and it was awful to watch because, you don't know the situation, and it's, they do it for the right reason, obviously, but, you know, always when they cut away and don't show the car, you always sort of dread the worst and stuff. But when it was announced that he was okay, all things considered, and they started showing the replays and the reverse angle where you see it from the rear of the car and him spearing into that wall, like the impact and the G-force must have been absolutely unbelievable. Like, I'm obviously not curious, but when that stat comes out about what that the G of that crash is, it's good. I would not be surprised if it was some kind of eye-watering number, because it was, you know, full speed. Nicholas Latifi obviously had a crash, but he was much more fortunate that it was in an area where you're slowing down. There was a lot of runoff there, so he could scrub off a bit of speed and go into a safer barrier. But Mick crashing into that wall at that speed is extremely scary, and you saw what it did to the car. I mean, it's a miracle that they can just walk away from things. Well, not walk away, but like be okay. From something like that is crazy, because even just a few years ago, that wouldn't have been something you could walk away from. So,
very much so. Well, I mean, it goes without saying that we're wishing Mick a speedy recovery, and hopefully, I'm sure he will be fine to be racing in Australia. But yeah, never a crash that you want to see happen. And I mean, a lot of people have been saying over the weekend, obviously, there have been quite a lot of chat whether we should be in Jeddah in the first place, away from being at the actual circuit itself, which is something that maybe we can go into at the end and sort of summarize, because this has been a crazy 24-36 hours in Formula One. But yeah, the track itself, you know, it's the fastest street circuit, and Formula One love this fact, and it's the second fastest circuit on the calendar generally, but it is a very dangerous track if you get it wrong, which we saw with Mick today. You know, that Günther Steiner didn't seem to think that it was an issue with the car. It seemed like it's more human error. But yeah, I'm all for tracks that punish mistakes. I love street circuits. I find them so exhilarating and exciting to watch. But there's got to be a point where safety and an exciting track should meet in the middle, and it, you know, should be, it shouldn't be, oh, this track's really cool, but if you go into this wall here, you're going to be in concrete. Like, that doesn't sound particularly safe. And also, sorry, got a tickle in my throat. We saw Esteban Ocon nearly have a moment in Q3 in exactly the same
spot. What a save that was, by the way.
It was a great save. Oh, my word. Esteban, yeah, if you're listening, Esteban, once again, no, you're a regular listener of the podcast. but yeah, it was a fantastic save, but kind of just further proof that, you know, that is an area that maybe needs to be evaluated more next year, because it seems like it could be quite a common spot for shunts.
If we're there next year.
Yes, very true. This is a very good point. But yeah, unfortunate for Mick. And Günther Steiner as well said, which I find like horrifying, I think this would be so scary, that the data was just lost as soon as he made impact with the wall. And I'm not sure, I don't know too much about the technical side of inside the car, but whether with that data being lost in the crash, whether that means we won't have the data of how heavy of a crash it was, but it also meant that the engineers and people on the pit wall completely lost any kind of conversation with Mick. So, yeah, you know, normally when we hear them say, you know, Mick, are you okay? And you might get a response, just silence. That must have been a really scary moment for the Haas team to not have an update. But we saw Valtteri Bottas as well, obviously slow and check to see that Mick was all right, which was a great thing. And one lovely thing about all the drivers is, obviously they're competitors, but they all do care very deeply about each other and their safety. But yeah,
which we saw last night now, in that very long drive. But it's just been an insane weekend. I can't believe it's only qualifying. It's felt like the longest weekend ever. But yeah, going back to the track being dangerous, and we'll go into the other stuff as well, does seem like for a lot of people that this track, it just, people are just hoping that they get to the end of it and everyone's all right, really. It just seems like one of those things, like tracks shouldn't be there where you feel like it's just an accident waiting to happen. That's not really, you know, there's risk versus reward. And we had this debate on the qualifying watch along where some people were like, oh, you don't complain about Monaco. And it's like, well, Monaco is a slow track. It's completely different. And, you know, Jeddah is essentially like lining Spa with concrete walls. And Spa's a dangerous track as it is, but that has runoff and gravel traps and et cetera, et cetera. But Jeddah is just, yeah, the track is insane. And some people will love it, but I know a lot of the drivers are just like, this is Jeddah. I mean, when we did a post on it, when they have to start putting TV screens up, which they are trialing, just so you can see around blind corners and stuff, that's not,
it's not really right.
You know, in
it.
A race, you shouldn't have to be watching the big screens to not worry that there's a car parked across the track. Because that's the worst incident. The worst case scenario is, you know, a car being in the middle of the track and you're going around a blind corner and you don't see it. It bears thinking about, like, barely bears thinking about. So Yes, not an ideal scenario. And I know a lot of people are quite miffed by the track. And then obviously also everything that's gone on this weekend.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I think it is an important issue to address. Obviously, in case you haven't caught up with it, myself and Matt did a stream last night, quite late actually, because 20 of the drivers had put themselves into a room. I don't know how else you would go about describing it, because they wanted to talk about if they were comfortable racing in Saudi Arabia this weekend. During FP1, in the final few moments of that, there was a missile strike at an Aramco oil refinery building, which is about 6 miles from the track, I think it is. And it caused a lot of heavy smoke, meant some flights were diverted. Also, Verstappen, even on his team radio, said that he could smell burning while he was on the track, obviously probably very unaware of what was going on. And despite F1 and the FIA, Liberty Media, the Saudi motorsport board that they've got there, everybody ensuring that Jeddah and the Saudi circuit is the safest place to be and security is at the highest level, and saying all these things that obviously they know that people want to hear. And the teams also unanimously agreeing that they were happy to continue with the race weekend. Drivers were clearly not feeling very comfortable with the whole situation. And so they had this meeting with them all, with the GPDA. And it was understood that some drivers were really not happy about racing. Some were fine with it. And eventually after, I think it was like a 4-hour meeting and various individuals coming in and giving their opinions and listening to concerns, it was decided amongst the whole grid that they would race this weekend. But it's just, like you say, Tommy, just been such a bizarre weekend. And to be honest with you, I'll be quite happy to see the back of it, which is a shame, because it should never be like that for an F1 fan. You know, got F1 there this weekend. This should be like all our Christmas has come at once. But in fact, I'm just filled with just so much disappointment in what's gone on. And I'm just ready to get to Australia and close this chapter.
Yeah, it's a crazy one, isn't it? That this race has gone ahead. The fact that in Bahrain, all the drivers are on the grid wearing a no war t-shirt. And then the very next race, there's, it's literally a war on the 6 miles from the track. And they're just like, no, it's fine. And, there's been a few people online talking about, boycott the race, blah, blah, blah. I'll just say from our perspective, I personally think it's worse to do that and try and sweep it under the rug like Formula One were doing yesterday, where they weren't tweeting or doing things. We have a platform and a voice, and I personally think it was important for us to carry on and share that, I like to think, we're the voice of the fans as well, that we're all miffed by this situation and it doesn't seem right and it does seem ridiculous, and we should, we're sharing that we're not happy with the situation. I mean, however much Formula One can go, oh yes, all the team principals and drivers agree. I mean, you don't have a 4-hour meeting where the big bosses of Formula One need to keep going into the room if the drivers are that pleased about racing. And the fact that no one put anything on social afterwards or anything like that, I'd love to hear what really went on in that meeting, because it'd be very interesting to hear one day what went down. And it makes you wonder if, nothing's happened, they've kind of got away with it and there will. And it makes you wonder, like, what happens next year when we go back to Jeddah? People, a driver's going to be like, do I really want to be going back there after what happened last time? Because we were just, we're at home, and I can't imagine what it was like for people. I mean, I saw some of the team principals that were saying things like, oh, my, you know, had to, my family were asking, wife and kids, like, are you safe and all this stuff? And yeah, it's not really the way it should be, is it?
It's not. It's unfortunate because, you know, Formula One can bring us fans so much joy, so much happiness. I mean, look at Sergio Perez on pole today. That's cheered everybody right up. And then it seems as though at the moment, maybe it's just because we are in the moment and it seems particularly bad. But, you know, out of the last, say, three races in Formula One, two of those have been shrouded in so much controversy. And yeah, it's just disappointing. But hopefully there are lessons to be learnt here and actually taken on board and dealt with and not just brushed under the carpet. Us F1 fans can get back to being happy and excited that we have F1 cars on a racetrack and the possibilities that can come with, you know, these brand new regulations and the fact that we've seen anything is possible on a racetrack.
Yeah, the season to end on a high, the season is looking amazing It really is. I mean,
I can't quite believe it.
It is. It looks like we've still got a title battle with Red Bull and Ferrari. We've got a mix up. I'm sure Mercedes will be back at some point. They are inevitable. So let's see what Ferrari can do with a big head start. And the race tomorrow is going to be an extremely interesting situation with the Red Bulls looking mighty down the straights. But will their cars last? Let's find out.
I hope so.
The dynamic of Perez, being, it's a situation that Red Bull have never had to deal with, like Perez being on pole and Verstappen in fourth. And, you know, do they let Perez run his own race? Do they hope that Perez blocks the Ferraris and Verstappen undercuts everyone? Like,
what
do
they do?
Perez
is a great defensive driver. I'm just putting it out there. I just hope Perez gets further than he did last time in Saudi, because obviously he got caught up by Charles Leclerc, actually, thinking about it. And after the first red flag that we had there. So
tempted fate now, Katie.
I take it back. Delete this part from the podcast, please. But yeah, it's looking super exciting. And I'm really enjoying doing these little post-quality podcasts, although really, really sorry to people who got the notifications last week. We didn't think it through and named like the title, like Charles Leclerc gets pole. It's amazing. And yeah, we did see a couple of you say, guys, I haven't seen it yet. But for me, I would say keep your phone on airplane mode and then you'll never see a spoiler and it's fine.
Yeah, I think we'll call this one just reaction to qualifying or something.
Yeah. Oh my goodness, what a crazy qualifying result or something like that.
Yeah.
So we'll bait people that haven't seen it.
Latifi poll, question mark.
Yeah, oh my gosh, imagine. But yeah, thank you so much, Tommy. Do you have a final moment of reflection? I think I was going to say final thought, but I thought I'd change it up a little bit.
I do. I have literally just gone on Twitter and seen a tweet from Mick Schumacher himself that says, hi, everyone. Just want to say I'm okay. Thank you for the kind messages. The car felt great. House will come back stronger. So there's a nice little note to end on that Mick is feeling good.
That's great. That's lovely. And I've also seen on my timeline that Hamilton went down to the Haas garage to ask how Mick was. So just a lot of love going on in that little paddock bubble, which is good to see.
It's a funny tweet. Can't remember who it was. Maybe it was, I want to say Hazel. So sorry if I've wrongly credited that, but someone saying about Hamilton doing Sebastian Vettel's dad, Mick Schumacher dad duties while he's away, which is quite funny. So yeah, that was wholesome stuff.
That is very good. But yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening to this podcast. And hopefully you also enjoyed qualifying, and we'll be back very soon to talk about the Grand Prix. So make sure that you don't miss that. It'll be going live on audio Monday evening. Yep. And if you want to see it in video form on Monday, then there is a way you can do that. It goes to YouTube on Tuesday. But if you want to be an early bird, if you want to see our reactions to things and
setting up
a million times, I roll my eyes at something Matt's probably said or something along those lines, then you can do, because if you subscribe to Team WTF1, then you get early access to the podcast. And yeah, you can watch us live. You can comment on the podcast as it's happening and we can read out your feedback. Or maybe you can't watch it live, but you want to have it to watch in the evening when you get home from work. That's also a thing. So yeah, for more information, search Team WTF1. I don't know if we can put links in podcast descriptions, but yeah, I'm sure if you just Google Team WTF1, you'll be able to find out all the information. And maybe we'll see some of you there on Monday. So yeah, thank you so much again, Tommy, for your time. And see you then. Bye-bye.
I'm about to sneeze. Goodbye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.